So, George, thanks so much for taking time out to chat with me today.
No, my pleasure. I'm glad we can do it
now,
from thousands of miles away.
I know. Isn't it amazing? Where are you? You're in L.A.?
Yeah, Santa Monica, to be specific.
And I know you're always traveling, so today I got you at home, lucky thing. And I'm here in Vancouver area, so we're far away and sounding like we're real close.
Beauty
now,
of technology.
People don't know you. Some people don't know you. So you're George Whittam. Why don't you introduce yourself and describe what you do and how you're all connected to us?
Okay, well, I started in audio way back when I was in college. I started in music. But as things go, you know, your careers take, you know, dips and dives and weaves and bobs. And before I knew it, I was working in radio doing engineering in Philadelphia. And I was engineering for all the Eagles football games for a few years. And so that gave me an early introduction to ISDN because we used it for every game. But other than that, I didn't know anything of the world of voiceover. Neither did I didn't know anything about Hollywood for that matter. In 2004, I moved to Los Angeles, dived right in doing production sound mixing on movies, just independent, you know, low budget films. And so I got a little taste of that world. And then in the meantime, I started to connect with voiceover people through a connection I had made in Philadelphia at the radio station. And that fellow's name is Howard Parker. And he's like, turns out that, you know, if there was only one guy you could just kind of start working with to get your career going, he was a good choice because he is one of the top voiceover actors in Hollywood doing, you know, major movie trailers and all this stuff. So one thing led to another. Don't you hate it when people say that?
No, it's just the way our world works, though.
I know. And then one thing led to another, and I was introduced to many more clients through his manager, and then I was introduced one day to Don LaFontaine. And I went to his house to help him with his studio and to kind of do some upgrades. I didn't know who the heck he was and until I heard him go into the booth and do a little script for Fox. And I was like, whoa, that's who this guy is. And
now, believe it or not, a lot of our audience, not everybody knows who Don is. So for those who don't know, Don LaFontaine is like the godfather of voiceover, especially in the trailer industry. And if you've ever heard the phrase, in a world, you've heard of Don LaFontaine. What a privilege for you.
I know. I was very fortunate, you know, just being in the right place at the right time. And it's networking, you know, it's just networking. And so from him, I would realize at that point when I started working with Don, that I was like, okay, this is clearly a career that I could be doing. I could be doing just studio tech support for voiceover and make a go of it. I didn't write a business plan. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I just knew that there was a demand for it. And started doing that. And so it's been about 6 years that I've done nothing but supporting the voiceover community technically and helping people with their home studios, designing them, dealing with acoustical treatment, equipment selection, ISDN stuff, anything that goes into a home studio for voiceover. I have focused on that one particular niche.
And interesting enough, why would Don have needed an engineer when he was so well known in the LA market? And usually the LA market, especially the veterans of the union and things like that, they're working in the studios, not needing their own. So was it because Don was traveling a lot, or what was his need for a home studio?
That's a good question, because, you know, Don was a pioneer, and then he decided at one point he was tired of literally driving from studio to studio all day long. Sometimes he'd have to be at 5, even 6, 7, and I've heard of up to 10 different studios in a day. In fact, he did that so much that he actually, and he was earning so much, and he did it so much that in the 80s, he bought a limousine. He had his own limo, and he had a driver, and the driver would take him from studio to studio, and he was notorious for this. But when ISDN became an acceptable means of doing home studio sessions, others had given it a try. But when Don caught wind of it and got his setup going on, then it was like, well, if it's okay for Don, it's okay for the rest of us. And that was, he kind of helped usher in this era now of, you know, home studios for voiceover. And he wanted to be home with his kids. At that time, he was just remarried and having had some kids, and he wanted to be home with them more. So, you know, he like I said, he kind of blazed the trail and made it okay for people to start working from home.
It's so interesting, George. I never really thought of that as, you know, where that all started or why. And that makes so much sense. The pioneer of voiceover, the one that clients would bend over backwards to have on their project, do whatever he needed to have it done. When you get into that true celebrityism, he was big enough and strong enough to say, hey, this is what I need, so follow suit. And that's really birthed this whole generation.
It's true. I mean, yeah, that's how certain things in the trends happen. It's usually because somebody of high influence says, I'd like to work a different way, and they do it. That's how Ernie Anderson, who was the voiceover of the Love Boat series and, you know, tons and tons of stuff for television, made the Sennheiser 416 shotgun microphone so popular. Because he didn't want to sit in a booth by himself all day when they did the sessions. They used to do it live. The TV show would, yeah. You know, the TV would be, the shows would be rolling. And whenever you heard an announcer during a break, the announcer was literally sitting in a booth and you were hearing those announcers live. And he was tired
Such
of sitting
a waste
in this
of
booth.
Time.
Yeah, sitting in this booth by himself. And he wanted to be out in the control room with everybody else. So, like, well, how the heck are we going to get clean dialogue in a control room, you know, with bustle of people and equipment noise, and that was the mic they chose to work with. And once that became the established microphone for Ernie, other people started using it, and now the 416 Sennheiser 416 shotgun microphone has become like an industry standard in Hollywood. It's funny how these things happen.
And now we're talking about microphones as well right now. We might as well touch on that for a moment. I know that can be a forever conversation, but we'll touch on that briefly. The shotgun mic, the difference for those of you that don't understand the difference of microphones, the shotgun is a very isolated mic where it's directional, and so your voice is only carried through in a certain direction. So you can't really go off mic and play in a big circumference area around it because it's meant to pick up just that sound, which helps to drop down all the other noise around you. Am I wording that correctly, George?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. It's very directional. If you've ever seen anybody making a movie where there's a microphone hung off of the end of a long pole, a boom pole, that's usually a 416 or some other shotgun style microphone. Call it a shotgun mic because it's very, the original shotgun microphone was about almost 2 to 3 feet long. And it just was this long, thin metal tube. So it looked like a gun. That's where it got the name. But it is extremely directional. So just as you said, it just picks up what's in front of it. It doesn't, it mm-hmm. rejects a lot of the other noise. So it's good for less than perfect environments.
So for those of you that are looking for mics and equipment, period, George is your do-all of do-all places. I mean, not only does he have the knowledge that he has and listen to just his background alone, but he really has worked with all of us to understand a lot of the different mics. And he also understands, as do I, that mics are individual to the person's needs. So that's why you may or may not need a shotgun mic versus something else. So let's talk about some other mics that you'd recommend, George, and the types of styles of mic they are and their pickup patterns.
Yeah, the standard studio microphone that's considered to be, you know, what's most acceptable in the voiceover world as a whole, you know, getting outside of the Hollywood world of the shotgun mic, is a what's called a large diaphragm condenser microphone, sometimes called an LDC for short. And so if you ever see someone say, it's an LDC mic, well, now you know what that means. But those are the microphones that you think of when you think of like the venerable Neumann U87, or, you know, those famous microphones you see in front of people, you know, like Don LaFontaine, or in studios in front of the Beatles and things like that. Those are the highest quality, cleanest, and most accurate microphones, arguably, that are made. And so those are generally the style you're going to look for. And they range in price from $50 to $5,000+. And they can really, you can really spend a tremendous amount of money on them. But the beauty of it is now is that you don't have to spend a lot of money to get a professional sounding microphone now. Thank you to manufacturers who, you know, are manufacturing in China and things like that. the costs have come down a lot. And so, you know, there's condenser microphones in the $100 range that are surprisingly good. I mean, they're shockingly good. You'd have to spend a tremendous, quite a bit more money to do a lot better than that. So you're generally going to look at large diaphragm condenser microphones. Do you want me to get more specific as to like what a couple models you might look at?
Maybe a couple models suggestions would be great.
Okay. Well, it's really tough, you know, narrowing down or pointing out, you know, singling out companies. But just lately, the ones I've recommended oftentimes, especially to people who really are just getting started and have not had a microphone before, I highly recommend a large diaphragm condenser microphone that is also a USB microphone. So it
now,
can plug.
Now, let me stop you for one sec. With the USB, we were finding before we were getting latency issues. Is that starting to change now in the coming microphones?
Well, if the microphone and the software is configured directly, if they're configured correctly, you won't have latency. And also the newer USB mics designed and made in the last 3 or 4 years have made huge improvements on the noise floor and the hiss and things like that. You're talking about the white noise. And
it was the white noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if you're thinking of the USB mics, like the Snowball, pretty bad. They had a lot of hiss. And the Samsung mics and the Samsungs, they were pretty noisy. And it's just because when they first came out, their target market was podcasters and stuff, people that didn't need studio quality sound out of the mic. I mean, they wanted it, but they couldn't afford it, and they weren't really designed for that. But once the quality electronics is improved and the price of the parts have come down, they've been able to get better quality components inside the microphone. And so now companies that are known for their microphones, historically known to make really good mics, such as Shure, that's Shure, known for, you know, they've been making microphones since the 40s. They're making USB mics now, and their quality has really jumped leaps and bounds now. So I'm a huge fan.
They were catered especially to a singing market prior because they would make a lot of the dynamics. I know some voice talent that use the dynamics, which means that the sound is being picked up all around. It's a full circumference of sound compared to the condenser mics. But they were more meant for the singers picking up that ambiance, and now they're really catering to the individual voice market where we need more directional sound, correct?
Well, the dynamic microphone is not referring to directionality. It's referring to how the microphone is designed, how it mechanically works. And dynamic microphones are far, far simpler, which generally makes them cheaper to build. And but they're not sensitive. They need a pretty loud voice, like a singer, to get a good sound out of them. And they're not good at picking up subtle voices like voiceover, where you've got a lot of subtlety in your voice.
And you can really eat the dynamic microphones, hence why you see a lot of the singers with the microphones right at their mouth, where you can't do that with a condenser. Right.
Yeah, okay. I'm using a dynamic mic right now, actually. It's only about 2 inches from my mouth. But I have to work it that close. Otherwise, if I don't, it sounds like I'm really far away and the signal is really low. But I use this microphone for doing a radio show or an internet radio show. So it works well for that. So
again, it goes back to the choices of what you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So the dynamic mics tend to not be great voiceover mics because they're not very sensitive. So to get a lot of sound out of a dynamic mic, it takes a lot of gain. So you need to have really, really good equipment to get that good, clean signal. The problem is most inexpensive audio interfaces like an M-Box or an M-Audio Fast Track or Presonus or whatever, those cannot give those mics enough gain. So when you turn them up as loud as possible, you end up getting a lot of that white noise or hiss you were talking about.
Yeah, right. Now, with the USB mics, just to backtrack a bit, what USB mics or I understand the brand name thing. I know you work with all the companies as well, and it does become individual preference, price, and all these things make a huge difference. But for USB mics, what are the better quality ones and better valued ones right now?
Yeah. The best value, hands down, if you really are budget conscious, is the one called the Audio Technica AT2020 USB, which in Canada, I don't think you'll find it quite as cheap as the US, but if you're spending more than, say, $150, then you're overpaying. It's going to be between $100 and $150 or something. And it's a very simple microphone to use. Just USB, plug it in and go. No drivers. And it's surprisingly good sounding. Its noise floor isn't quite as good as some of the better ones, so you get a little bit more hiss than you would, say, with a better quality one. But if you're really getting started, I would say that's the cheapest possible USB microphone that I can recommend that you can get what I would consider professional or at least good quality audition sound out of. Going to the next level, I would say the Shure PG42 USB is a really good one. It's awesome because it's got a better quality microphone element inside. It's got fully adjustable gain, so it's got little dials on the side that lets you adjust how loud the mic is. It's got a headphone volume control. Your headphone can plug right into the microphone, which gives you what we call zero latency monitoring. So you can, if you do like to wear headphones while recording, you hear yourself with zero latency. You hear yourself in real time the way you should.
So no echoes for those of you that don't understand latency.
Yeah, yeah, no echo of any kind. That would be, you know, really distracting. And it even has a dial on the back for monitor mixing, so you can blend in how loud you are versus how loud the playback is from, say, you know, a playback track. Not something you're going to do much in voiceover, but it can do it. And then it's got a shock mount that cradles the microphone and isolates it from vibration. And it's just really, really classy mic for about $250, $300. And then from there, it's, you know, you'd have to spend a lot more money than that to make a big improvement. I mean, there are some slightly better USB mics out there, but I think that one is, I would say right now, my favorite. Now, if you're an iPad user or an iPhone user and you want something super simple that you can plug right in and throw in your bag that's really compact and still sounds good, then you got to check out the Apogee One. I'm sorry, the Apogee Mic. It's just called the Mic, M-I-C. And that thing is quite remarkable for about $200. Plug in and it works with an iPhone or an iPad and gets, I definitely would say, professional sounding results. It's quite remarkable.
Excellent. Okay, great to know on all those ones. Now, for those that are going to switch to USB, now we're going to be removing an interface, obviously, a hardware. So what happens now for control? Is it just going USB right to software programs that actually run the microphone and you're running it all through there? Or do you still recommend going through an interface of some sort?
Well, yeah, when you're using a USB microphone, you've now bypassed the need for a secondary interface. So you don't need any other device. This works great as long as you're the microphone is going straight to a computer, which most of you will be doing, just recording yourself. This works beautifully. If you have to interface with other things outside of a computer, these don't work. If you're doing, let's say you're still using ISDN, you're not going to use a USB mic, but that's a whole different world, and that's a very small percentage of the voiceover business is doing that. So for the vast majority of you doing like book narration and things like that, you know, or corporate narration or whatever, these USB mics are beautiful for that. And so the gain control, like I was saying, the microphone sensitivity is adjusted directly on the body of the mic. There's a dial right on there to adjust it. There's no need for anything else. This thing has combined all the features of several pieces of gear down into one unit and done it well so that you can get good results out of it.
So it's making it nice and simple for those that just need to voice, whether it's at home or on the road, in a simplistic format and don't need to learn the engineering of things, which can get pretty convoluted. Ask me, Mrs. Almost Tech Geek. For those of you, however, that do production on the side, and hopefully you're charging for that service and not doing it for free with your auditions, but for those of you that are doing stuff like production and ISDN and other things, and there's other avenues for you to take. And I don't want to waste all of George's time, valuable time, on specifics on all the equipment list. But what I want to do tell you, what I do want to tell you is that George is such a great resource for you so that you can piecemeal a kit together, like the VO kit that he was so lovingly put together for me. You're still doing the VO to go kits, and are you still calling them that? Have you changed that name, and describe what that is?
Well, the VO to go kits, we used to have a lot of gear. I mean, they used to be a lot more sophisticated because we didn't have a good quality USB microphone, or we didn't have the miniaturization of the gear that we have now, just 5 years ago when I started doing this. So they were a little bit more complex. But nowadays, the need for a VO to go kit has just gotten so much simpler. We're no longer packing computer printers with us and we're reading scripts off the screen. We don't need to have a separate mic preamp or anything else these days. So nowadays, when someone wants to travel, I just tell them, get a nice, very, very quiet laptop. I really lean towards the Apple MacBooks. I think they're the creme de la creme for laptops and worth every penny. And then combined with some other really simple pieces, either a USB mic, or if you're really serious and you're doing a lot of work, not just auditions from the road, and you need to, you know, match the sound from the studios you work in, usually a 416 usually can be, the shotgun mics can sometimes be a better choice. And that combined with something like a MicPort Pro, which connects the mic to the computer through USB, is a really good system. And that's combined with something like Source Connect, which is a software that we're using actually right now to do this interview. You're going to get remarkable quality, and you'll be able to connect with studios all over the world from wherever you are. So the amount of stuff you need to carry is so much less these days. And so I don't get a lot of calls for like, build me a complete VO to go kit like I used to. Because most people already have a laptop. They just say, just get me Source Connect, or, you know, just get me one or two, you know, the things I need. It's so much simpler now. But for just a home studio,
it's more
about getting the acoustics together. That's the part that's a mystery to most people, really. You can spend $1,000 on a mic, but if you haven't put the energy into the room acoustics and soundproofing, things like that, then it's not going to be, it's all for naught, because the mic is going to pick up all this other stuff that you do not want to have heard in the recording. And so don't blow a huge amount of money on a mic until you've worked out some of those other issues first.
And those are, I mean, that's a paramount issue, is especially when you're troubleshooting where some noise might be coming from when you do have your equipment, is figuring out what it is. A lot of times it's the room tone, whether it's the ceiling or the floor or the walls in which the way they bounce sound, or whatever environment you're in. So it's important that you have the room treated properly in one way or the other, whether that means a dedicated booth or a traveling booth or that makeshift closet that we're all using, most of us anyway. But the acoustics are really important. And also it makes it hard when you're trying to choose a microphone, because it also depends on the acoustics or your environment that you're voicing, is how this microphone's going to sound. So when you go to try the microphones, like, I know the music stores here, it's ridiculous, $150 I have to pay to rent a mic just to test it. So, you know, it used to be you could just go rent a whole bunch of them, give them a credit card, and then didn't cost you anything. Actually, you'd try them out in your studio, but that's just not the way it is anymore. Too many people buying them, I guess. So it's a matter of testing the mics out in a convenient way, because if you do it in the music studios, as long as they have a treated room, it's great. But without the treated room or a specific area, you're going to be picking up band instruments and all sorts of stuff that you might not even realize.
Yeah, there's very few places left in the world that have a proper microphone testing room. And there's only a handful I can even think of. One of them is in New York City, called B&H Photo and Video, and they have a true mic testing room. But again, it really does depend on the acoustics of your room. But to be completely honest, there's so much voodoo in microphones these days. People put a tremendous amount of effort trying to find the perfect microphone. And at the end of the day, the differences are so subtle, and they can be adjusted for using equalizers or EQ.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if your recording has low noise and it sounds clear and clean, if there's little issues with the acoustical, I'm sorry, little issues with the tone of the recording, let's say a little bit too much bass or a little bit too much sibilance, these things can be adjusted for just simply by doing a little EQ, but also just how you use the microphone. Microphone technique has a tremendous effect on how the mic sounds. If I talk into the microphone like this, it sounds very muddy. And if I talk way back here, it sounds very thin. You have to find the perfect spot for that microphone that gets the perfect, you know, representation of your voice. And microphone technique and acoustics has more to do with it than the actual microphone model and brand that you buy.
Absolutely. Now, George, you also offer, I mean, we could talk about software programs, and that's, again, another whole chapter we could discuss. And I know you have a lot of recommendations. I know Twisted Wave, I think, is one of your favorites that you use, as well as Adobe Audition. And Pro Tools can get a little more complex. There's a lot of software programs out there. For those of you that are more into inquiring about that, I'm going to have George leave his company name and address so that you can get in touch with him, and perhaps he might be able to help you in that department picking the right software as well. But the services as well that you offer, which is second to none and hard to find, is the technical side of things. Because even though we're going with simplicity of USB mics, which might be diminishing some of your calls all the time, there's still a lot of complex issues that happen for us that are not tech geeks and need some help for setting things up, not just something as extreme as ISDN, but a plethora of things. So what kind of services do you offer that you feel the talent could use?
Well, yeah, it varies. So let's say you're really just getting started and you really want a turnkey solution. Then I put together like a quote for somebody that says, here's everything you need, including my time to help you get it set up. And most of that time it's remotely set up. So I'm based here in LA. And so anybody in the world that can speak English, because unfortunately I haven't learned any other languages yet, so I'm working on that.
It is one of our barriers.
But once, I can talk you through setting up your studio over Skype or over the phone or whatever, and we can do a lot of things. But that's just a small percentage of the people I work with. The most people I work with have already been working as a voice actor, either for a few years or even 30 years. And so they just need a little, they either need a little tweak here and there about how their sound is, or they need to have better audio processing, because they're finding nowadays that if they don't process their audio or master their audio tracks before they send them out, then they don't sound good, because unfortunately nowadays, a lot of the jobs, a lot of the projects don't involve an actual audio engineer anymore.
Guys like me are losing jobs. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's really scary.
They're not working. So what they're doing is they're taking your recording and dropping it right into their editor, their video editor, you know, Final Cut or Avid, and there's no audio processing going on. And the video guy either doesn't know or doesn't care about how to get the most out of your voice. I was just at a client's house the other day named Steve Mackle. He's like the announcer for like Jay Leno and stuff, where he does all the promos for him. He's like, yeah, that's what's going on. He's like, I want my audio to be processed before I send it out to half these promo jobs, because they need to turn it around so quickly that if I don't process it for them, they're not going to do it. And then my voice kind of gets lost in the mix with all the background music and all that stuff. So I have to do it myself. So I'm getting more and more people asking me for that. Can you set me up the perfect audio processing presets? Yeah. And with Twisted Wave, it's so easy. I can create this thing called a stack, and it's perfectly tailored to your voice. And I send you the stack file. It's just a preset file, and you load it. And boom, you've got a perfect duplicate of all the settings I was using to reproduce the sound that you're looking for. So I call that little thing virtual engineering. So if you send me a sample, I can create a preset right off the audio sample you've sent me. And that can be done just by, you know, just totally by email. If you want consulting, where I listen to you and analyze what you're doing, then we start with a 1 hour phone call. And then from that point on, you can book me in, you know, short as half hour increments to, you know, continually fine tune. But before you even drop a dime, on anything, you can just send a sample in to me and I'll listen to it and give you my honest feedback. I'll give you a completely objective opinion about the sound quality, not your acting. That's not my job. Not my job, man.
Of course. There's another really important part, though, which is that technical side. That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
so
a great
I'll
service
to
provide. I mean, it's something I'll take advantage of myself just to keep sweetening and sweetening. And you know, I got to say, and I'm just flabbergasted about the fact that even in the higher end, they're still dropping the engineers because, you know, I've seen it and I see it coming, but we should never be doing an engineer's job without another fee. And that means we need training. And that means, it's so
it's a shame.
Wrong.
I know. You guys should be getting compensated appropriately for your time, energy, and expertise.
Here's the thing. Okay, we already are supposedly because of the voice thing, but if we're talking union talent now as well, so there's another job that someone needs to unionize. That's another job that we shouldn't be taking it away first and foremost. Let me be well known to say it should be the engineer's job. I don't want a process. I don't want to have to hire George to teach me what he knows. I want it to go to him or to him or to him who already knows it, who's taken the training, who does deserve that paycheck. So I don't deserve that paycheck, in fact. But what's worse is they're making us do it without the paycheck. And that's what's appalling and wrong. Just wrong.
Yeah.
I guess it's just part of the way it's going.
I know. So it's the adapt or die mentality. It's like if we don't just kind of work with the system, you know, who's going to change it? Well, you know, if another Donald Fontaine comes along with that much influence, you know, and changes the way things go, but he's gone now. And I don't know if there's anybody else that's ever going to have such a singular influence.
Nancy Cartwright, Nancy, come help us.
Yeah.
Maybe we got to go to salary at that point, right? You know, isn't that crazy? Geez. Yeah. It's, you know what? I hope that anyone who's listening, please share this with people, especially those that are in the union. Let's fight for this one. We should not be taking away from the engineers. And, you know, I understand that we already are by being a home studio. So I've already done that once and we're already devaluing the industry by doing that. But let's not keep going further. I really do teach. Don't produce your stuff. Send it raw. Let them have to pay for that service. Listen, the bottom line is we have to teach the clients. Because what we're willing to do is how we're teaching them. So sad.
Yeah.
I know. It's endless. Okay, back to you, George. So how do people get a hold of you? And is there any final notes and stuff that you'd like to leave behind? I'd love to actually have another time with you because there's still so much more to talk about. But I know your time is valuable and I have a session coming up here soon. How do people get a hold of you? And what are your final thoughts?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me is through my website, and that's vostudiotech.com. And there's a straight up contact form on there where you can just write me an email. But a lot of people find they can go straight to my Get Help page and book a session with me and get the help they need straight off the bat. And it's kind of self-guided. You know, you can pay for a service and you can book through my calendar system. It's all automated. Send me an audio sample.
Really nice
you can
setup.
Even download the remote software I use so I can show you, teach you on your computer remotely. It's all very neatly kind of tied up in a little package there. But the other thing, like I said, is the Dropbox is really valuable. Even if I've never spoken to you in my entire life, I don't know who you are. You can still just go to Dropbox, the link on the top of my page, click on Dropbox and just follow the instructions and send me a sample. And I'll say, hey, you know, you're sounding great, but you're just too close to the mic or everything's perfect, but there's just a little bit too much room tone or white noise or, you know, in 1 in 10 samples, you're fine. You don't need me. You're fine. So, you know, I'm very objective. I'm not doing this
Absolutely.
To take your money, but it's been good business for me too, because people discover that there's little things that could be tweaked and then they appreciate that they can get the help because they don't get an objective ear from anybody. They don't know who they can trust. And they usually don't hear any feedback. So, you know what they say, sometimes no news is good news, but unfortunately in this business, sometimes no news is bad news because you're not getting work and you don't know why. So
No,
that's
your
what I help
service
you do.
Is absolutely invaluable to us. I mean, we're so grateful. I'm so grateful for your journey, and I'm surprised I didn't even ask you about it before. I loved hearing your story and how it all came into play, and I'm so thankful for the gentleman you met along the way that, you know, we got to find Dawn's best kept secret, as I always called you, so that you were able to help us through this, because this is a nightmare. None of us want to go to techie school to find out. And just your services are invaluable. You're fair, you're reasonable, and you're such a good man and a good friend, George. I just can't thank you enough for taking time to talk with me today and to give back, as I know you do. You're so involved in the community. And for those of you, if you haven't heard of George, which I'm sure you have, he is definitely one of your team members. So get on with his website, get on his list, and utilize his services. I guarantee you'll need it. You have to have an engineer in your back pocket.
Yeah, don't miss out on my show, because I'm doing a show with another fellow named Dan Leonard called East West Audio Body Shop. And it's EWABS for short, EWABS.com, EWABS.com. We've already done 55 episodes. Every one of them is online where you can watch these videos. And they're hour to hour, half long shows. And you will, if you actually watch all 55 shows, you'll never need to hire us because you've already learned everything there is to know about home studios by that point. But you'll have already heard, you've heard interviews with people like June Foray and Bob Bergen and all these amazing voice talents, because we get some of the best in the business on our show. And we haven't gotten Deb on yet, which is nuts. So you're going to be on our show sometime soon, hopefully.
I was just going to say, but, well, let's definitely do a reciprocal one. I'd love to interview you both as well, because Dan's another just absolute soul entity to the technical side of our industry. Yeah. You guys have done such a great job as a team. I'm so glad you guys teamed up. I'd be honored to be on the show, of course.
Awesome. Let's set that up. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you, George, as well. It's always a pleasure. And we'll be in touch soon. I'll send you a copy of the interview as well. And how's the little one anyway?
Oh, Ella's great. She actually has an agent now.
Does she?
She has a print. She has a print and commercial agent. We haven't had any work yet. We've had one audition for an Elmo commercial. And she got a call back, which was really encouraging.
Now, Ella is George's little girl. She's, how old is she now?
She is 3, but coming up on 3.5. And she's extremely gregarious and friendly. People are always blown away. She'll go up to the... Yeah, at the very end. That's pretty good.
I think it's my client calling me, actually.
Maybe it is. But yeah, she's wonderful. She is wonderful.
Well, thanks, George, so much for taking the time again for us today. And those of you that need George, he's giving you his information.
She's wonderful. She is wonderful.
Okay, you take care, my friend. Till next time.